Turn your Bibles over to, I think we're going to go to Zechariah first. Today's a really, really special day. And I am so glad that you're here with us. Because I want to tell you today that our God is a God of promise. We sing the song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. My God, that's who you are. So I'm going to show you today a prophecy fulfilled. Back to today, I'll name this message, The Prophecy Fulfilled. Because it was prophesied. Before something can be fulfilled, it must be prophesied. So let's look at the prophecy given to us. Oh, about probably 3,000 or 4,000 years before Jesus came to earth. And before he died. But it tells us what's going to happen between his birth and between his death. In fact, it takes us to the last week of his ministry on earth. The very last week. And that's where we're going to go today is the last. That's what Palm Sunday is. Many call it the triumphant entry when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And so this takes us to that week. But it was even prophesied in much detail. And God didn't have to detail this so much for us, but he did, like he usually does. So look at Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9, 9 should be easy for you to remember. Put that in your memory bank. Zechariah 9, 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. That's us. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, he could have just closed that off at your king is coming to you. He promised them, I will give you a king, Israel, because Israel was in bondage. You've got a king coming to you. He's going to have salvation to give you. He's going to give you help. He's going to take care of you in every way possible. He promised them all that. But when he talked about a king coming to them, they're thinking about this king in royal robes and in a great procession of chariots and being carried on his throne through the city and great crowns. And a great entourage with him. And then he goes right on and it looks like he changed the subject. But God doesn't change the subject. He said, oh, your king is coming to you. But let me tell you this. He says he is just. And he has salvation. And he is lowly, which means very humble. He's not a prideful king. He is very lowly. By the way, he'll be riding on a donkey. And not a big donkey, it'll be a colt, the foal of a donkey. Have you ever seen a little foal? I can tell you right now, when Jesus rode into that town, he was probably at least 6 feet tall. 30-year-old man, or 33-year-old man, his feet must have been dragging the ground. And you were not going to set yourself on a colt. They're wild. They're crazy, and they are not going to let anyone sit down on them. Not a baby, much less a grown man. You're just not going to sit on one. They're not broke. And yet, Jesus prophesied, or Zechariah prophesied, sorry, folks, but this is the way the king will be riding into town. This is how you will know it's him. Now, had it been the other way around, the king that I just described, then maybe they could have thought it was a natural king. But when the prophet prophesies, this king is coming, but he'll be coming in on a little foal. They're like, oh, what? I mean, how exciting was that? Okay, so that's prophesied. You want to see it fulfilled? Let's go over to Matthew. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5. Here we go, about, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 years later. Here it is, Matthew 21. Get over there with you. 21. No, let's see. I'm sorry, 19. I don't think that's right either. That's not what I wanted. I'm thinking about, oh, yeah, it is. I'm in Luke. I'm sorry. I'm going to show you Luke later. Sorry about that. I thought that's not adding up. Okay, 21. 21, 4, and 5. And this was done that it might be fulfilled. Look at this. All these years later, this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, I just saved time, and I didn't read to you the entire story. It talked about Jesus moving into town, riding into town. His disciples had gone and found the donkey exactly where Jesus told them the donkey would be found. And they went and found the donkey and brought it. Again, you can't really call it a donkey. It was a colt. And so they brought it right in. And it was all there. It had to be this way to fulfill the words of Zechariah that we just read. So this Palm Sunday is just, every Palm Sunday is, it's one of my favorite. Because it has so much to do with that last week that Jesus was on earth and everything that he did. Now, look down at, let's go down to verse 6. Let's continue reading here a little bit. So the disciples went where? They went to get the donkey. They went and did as Jesus commanded, and they brought the donkey and the colt. The mama came along with the colt, and they laid their clothes on them and set him on them, on both of them. Now, Matthew has a little different description. This is written in all the four Gospels. But he says he said on them. So that's funny. So they spread their clothes. Look at this, verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before them, those who followed, cried out. You know what they were saying? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's what we were singing about this morning. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now let me tell you something. There was only a handful of people that knew who he was and recognized him as the Messiah. The others are like, who is this? And why are all these people making such a to-do about this guy on this little colt? He doesn't look like anybody to me. And some of the very same people, so they jumped in the crowd because now they realize he was a good prophet. He was an awesome prophet, but they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. And they still don't in Israel. I saw something this morning, and in Israel, in one way, I thought, oh, I wish I was there. And I could see right where they were marching, next to the wall of the city, and thousands were marching down the street singing Hosanna, and they had palm leaves, and they were putting clothing down on the streets, and they were worshiping, or I don't know if they were worshiping, but they were walking, and they were remembering the historical Jesus. They were giving honor to the historical Jesus. They don't believe he's the Messiah, but they believe he was the prophet. They believe the Messiah is soon to come, and yes, he is. But they just couldn't grasp that he was the Son of God. Oh, they know he was the son of Mary and Joseph. That's what their neighborhoods tell them. It's what history tells them. But they just can't believe that he is the very Son of God. So, here they were doing it. 2,000 years, we're still doing it. There's churches across town that have massive crowds this morning. All the liturgical churches, the Presbyterian and Methodist, and many of those that are liturgical, and the Catholics, and too much to name. I'm telling you this morning, they're praising this historical Jesus, which is good. I'm so happy they are. But it goes so much farther than a historical Jesus. And I'll show you how powerful this is in just a moment. But let me explain to you what the word Hosanna means. Of course, you say, oh, we know, Pastor, it means shouts of praise. We know Hosanna. We grew up on the word Hosanna. It means praise. Yes, it does. But even the song, Brother Chris, on one lyric there on that next line, I wasn't familiar with it. I mean, I should have been because we've sung it a lot. But when it said Hosanna, it said the one who saves. And that's exactly what Hosanna means. Literally, it means come to save us. Come to save us. And that's what Jesus did. It also means help. Help. Save me, I pray. Literally, save me, I pray. So really, when we're shouting out Hosanna, it's a prayer request in a worship form. That's what we were doing this morning. We were worshiping him and we were praising him every time we said Hosanna, but we were also saying, help us, Lord. Help us bring salvation. It was asking for help and asking for deliverance and asking for salvation in a form of worship as we worshiped him. All right, so let me take you what John said, John chapter 12, verse 13. John tidied up a little bit this word that I want to just verify with you. John 12, 13 through 15. And the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming up to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, and they cried, what? Hosanna. Save us. Bring us salvation. And then they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, he sat on it. And as it is written, he said, fear not. Now here's something that we can grab a hold of. Cindy just testified to it. He found a donkey and he sat on it. And these were the words of Jesus. John recorded it, but it was not John's words. This part was Jesus' word. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. That was also Zechariah's words. God spoke through Zechariah the prophet and said the same thing that John just said, same thing that Matthew said, the same thing that Luke says. Fear not. That's one reason we need not fear, because of this very special day. And the last week of Jesus' ministry, the last week of Jesus' ministry, you can just write it down as the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. His coming, he was born, he really died, he really was resurrected, he really went away, and he is really coming back. Just as much as it was prophesied that he would be born, just as much. And he also said he won't just be born, he'll be born to a virgin, and he'll be born in a stable, and he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He never leaves one of his prophecies half done. And he said, oh, he'll be coming to town, your king, he's surely coming, but he will come on a lowly, humble, a king full of humility riding on a little colt. But I can tell you this, church, when he comes back the second time, I'm not talking about the rapture of the church. When he comes back to get his church, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, we'll just be gone. The trumpet will sound, the shofar will sound from heaven, and we will be caught up to meet him. But when we get there, we will be there 7 years while all hell breaks out loose down here on earth. The tribulation period begins when we are caught up. The Antichrist will bring peace on earth for 3.5 years. After that, he will break his contract with the nations. And when he does, The Bible says there has never been a wrath like it before or after. So the crisis is on. The tribulation period begins. And you and I, the Bible says, and it's prophesied all through the Old Testament, not fulfilled yet, but it will be fulfilled, and we will see it. That there will be something called the Last Supper. Oh, the disciples had the Last Supper, but this will be the Supper of the Lamb. And you and I will be caught up, and we'll be at that great feast. The Bible calls it a love feast. So while all of that's breaking loose down here, all will be well. But I said that to say when Jesus comes back that time, he won't be that little lowly king riding on a donkey. He will come in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a vesture on his body that has a name that nobody has. And he will be riding on a white horse, a white stallion, and we will all be on white horses behind him. And he will take dominion over the earth. He will take dominion over China and Iran and all of these evil nations. And when Israel sees him, they will say, that's the Messiah. We didn't know, Lord. We're sorry. We're sorry. We didn't know. We were in Israel. And let me tell you something. Most of those people do not like Christians. Is that right, Gina? We were having breakfast one morning, you know, and it was Shabbat. It was Sabbath. Well, we go to church on the day Jesus rose from the dead, on Sunday. So, you know, I don't want to get off on this or I'll take too much time. So they get up. I mean, they don't work. They don't do anything. Some of them just go out on the Sabbath and rent a hotel. They told us they rent a hotel so they won't stay home and get caught up working. Doing anything. I mean, they don't even push the elevator button. There's a Shabbat elevator, and they told us, they said, this is not your elevator. Yours is over there. So they have their own elevator. Somebody's on it that's probably a Gentile or sinner, and they push the button to let them go up because they can't even push the button. So we go to have breakfast. I don't know. You'll remember we were sent down to have breakfast, and so I went over and got a piece of bread. They had a little piece of bread like this. And I got the bread, and this little old woman, a little Jewish woman, just the cutest little thing, her and her friend, and she came over, and I'm walking over there to the table, and it's like a buffet. And so I'm walking over to my table, and this little cute Jewish woman walks over there and just takes my bread out of my plate. And she says, that's not your bread. And I said, excuse me, honey. She said, that's not yours. That's our bread. Yours is over there. Talking about feeling like a dirt bag. We're saved. I mean, we're the people of Zion. They just live there. We're the people of Zion. You know, I just wanted to slap her little hands. I didn't say anything. I mean, I said, "Ooh, I'm sorry. She got her bread. She wasn't as cute as I thought she was." Oh, shoot. See, I knew I'd get off. Let me get back over here. But Jesus has something to say. And what I wanted to say is the great time that we have here in this last few weeks or few months or few days, maybe, whatever we have left time on earth. He said, I don't want you to fear. Don't you all be afraid for 1 minute because your king is coming back. Oh, don't you fear, O daughter of Zion, O men of God. Don't you fear because he is coming back riding on a white horse. It won't be some little pony. No, he's going to be the white horse, but he's coming back as a judge. We've already been blessed and received our rewards, and we will be riding high with him. But he's coming back to judge every one of those filthy goat nations. I'm just telling you, that's what's going to happen. So, he said, I don't want you to fear. Now, I want to show you how Jesus pleads with the people when he rides into Jerusalem. Turn with me to Luke 19. Now go to Luke. And Jesus is going to plead with the people right here. Okay, he's already in. The people have been so excited. It's like seeing a movie star come to town. Some of them didn't know who he was, but they see this huge crowd. And I mean, it was a huge party. It was a major celebration. It was a major parade in Jerusalem. They didn't do this kind of thing that often. So now they're seeing this is somebody. Verse 37, Kathy, 19. Verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. See, they knew their Bible. They, not our Bible, New Testament, but they knew the Torah. They knew he was coming. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called him and said, Teacher, you need to rebuke those disciples. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of people in this wicked earth right now that are wanting to rebuke Jesus and rebuke his people. Amen? Amen? You know it's the truth. The same people, many of the same people in that crowd that was shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. About a week later, you know what they were saying? Crucify him, crucify him. What changed within 5 days? 6 days? What changed? From Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, to crucify him. Same crowd. It's a strange land we live in, church. Verse 41. Now, look at this. Now, as he drew near Jesus, he saw the city. And look what it says. What does it say? He wept over it. He came in and tears were flowing down his face. Why? Because here's what he said to them. And I believe it's right now for the same today. I'm not giving you a historical lesson. It is a historical lesson, but we're talking about right now. His word is still fresh. It is still absolute, and it is still now. So I wept over at verse 42. And he's saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this hour, the things that made for your peace. Let me read it again. If you had known, even you, especially now, in this day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you, when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Why? Why? Look, because, Jesus speaking, you did not know the time of your visitation. It's so important, church, that we realize the time we're in and the time of our visitation. He says, had you known this day, had you known, even you, especially this time, it would make for your peace. If you knew what this time was about, it would make for your peace. You would be much more peaceful. But you don't even know what this is about. You don't know what I'm about. And that's why Jesus was crying as he rode into the city. Because he said, I'm getting ready to give my life's blood and lay down my life and die for you. Jesus was born to die. That's why he came. He said, I was born to die and I'm going to lay down my life for you. And I want you to know because I'm giving you my peace. John says the world has a peace, but Jesus said, I'm leaving you. But the peace the world has is not what I'm leaving you. It's my peace I give to you. See, his peace and the world's peace is two different things. The world has a false peace, and we can get it so many ways. Oh, it's a false peace. But he said, if you had only known You wouldn't need all those substitutes because I have that for you. But see, he says, but now they're hidden from you. Now you can't see them because you're just too busy picking up the world's peace over here and a little pleasure over here and a little of this over here and a little of that over there. The important things, at least according to you, they're important. Jesus said, I want you to be blessed. And I want you to prosper, and I want you to have all those things. But in Matthew chapter 6, he said, seek me first. Seek the kingdom of God first. And then I'll just add all those things. We are a blessed people. I'll just add those things to you because you put me first. Oh, if you'd only known. Now they're hidden from you. Why? Because you don't know the day of the visitation. Look at that. That's a big old word. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Look. The world is crying out right now. They want no part of God. In the 60s, one woman, Madeline O'Hara, took prayer out of the school. She couldn't really because, you know, kids can... You can always pray, but you're not going to do it out loud. They don't want prayer on the football ground, football field. Tim Tebow got arrested. I don't know if he got arrested, but he got in big trouble. Mocked and made fun of because he took a knee and prayed on the football field. So God says, don't you dare be deceived because I will not be mocked. They mocked him. God says, and they mocked me. See, now God said there was a time where I winked at your ignorance, but I'm not winking anymore. See, God gets to a place and he says, I will not endure with you forever. And he said, don't frustrate grace. Grace in Hebrews in chapter 9. I believe that America and the world has come to a place where we are frustrating grace. The first covenant, Hebrews chapter 10, says the old covenant waxed old and was ready to pass away. And that's when the spirit of grace come in. Yes, we are under grace. But he said, I'm coming back with a visitation. The visitation's on the earth right now. That's what happened in Asbury. That's what happened in Pensacola. That's what happened in Canada. That's what happened up north. That's what's happening now. God is bringing a visitation, you guys. And you have to be really, really careful when he comes to your house. Because you know what? He is constantly coming to us. He's constantly riding into your home. Did you know that? He's constantly writing into your mind and into your life and into the school and into your place of work, into the job. And when he comes in, and then we meet people during the day, and how do you know they're not an angel unaware? It just might be. We have to be very, very attentive because it could be him. Now, I said, if you would have recognized me, it could have been a beautiful, peaceful life for you. But you've got to know your hour of visitation. And that's why I am seeking his face in this house. And many of you are too. And I'm saying, Lord, when you come in, whatever you want to do. He said, pray every time you go in the house. I said, yes, Lord, that's what we'll do. We'll pray for the sick. Why? Because he said, I want to be seen. I want you to see my miracles. I want you to see what I can do. If you'd only known the day of your visitation. They wanted him this day, but they didn't want him the next day. Have you heard the way people talk? Christians you run on to out there? You run on to them and you could tell in 5 minutes they are not expecting a visit from God anywhere. And if they were, most people want the visitation from God when they're in trouble. See, Israel was in trouble. So they want him to come when they're in trouble or they have something they can't handle and they need that miracle. Well, give me that miracle. Woo, God is good. God is good. I praise him. He's good. And you see them and they're on cloud nine. And the next week, things went like this. Things went south in their life and they're like, I don't get it. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And God just, he. And they get all worked up and all angry and all hateful. They wanted him then, but I don't want him now. How about when you go to work and the people are wanting you to compromise with them? Oh, you wanted him today. We were praising him together, but how about tomorrow afternoon when they want you to go out and party with them after work? So then what you going to do? Jesus, look, if you'll just stay right there, please don't come and bother me. And don't let your Holy Spirit embarrass me. I'll be back in a little while. I'll just be gone about 30 minutes. Look, they're my friends. I'll just go, but I won't get carried away. I'm telling you, church, we're in a new day. There's a visitation. Not for just one of us who are special, but every single one of us have a path in this life. We have a circle of people around us. Who is that? Is that your family? Is it your neighbor? All kinds of things that God has appointed us to. Now look, I'm going to close with this. Please remember, on this Palm Sunday, God always, always gives us an opportunity to recognize him. I promise you he does. It's not just the big things like our sister had a bad report, and then there's no cancer. And, oh, your heart is a mess. We got to fix it tomorrow. No, the night before there was prayer made, and no, you're okay. Okay, so he always gives us those big things to recognize him with, and you thank him for that. But how about those little things he does? How about those little sweet things he does that doesn't matter to hill of beans to anybody else? It don't matter that he gave you $10 or $1,000 or gave you that parking space when you didn't feel like walking a mile. I know you men, you always like to park way out there. Well, I don't. I like to park up front. David calls it my parking pass. And most of the time I have a parking pass. And when I walk out and I didn't get to park there, I don't even know where my car is. I'm like a little old woman. I got to hit that buzzer. They beep, 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 find my car. But I'm just saying, those things don't matter to you. But I recognize him. Man, go buy a cake. Tell my babies they do good at school. They get the principal's award. Man, Sarah gets called in. She gets a blessing. I said, let's go buy a cake. Finally, they're very strict dad. Moms, hey, Nana, they get too many cakes. They're not even going to love their cake when they get their birthday cake. But yes, they will. Yeah, they'll still love it. So the other day I said, Ains, honey, you did so good. You should have chose to do something. I said, that's so good. I'm going to go get you a cake. No, Nana, no. She says, no. I don't need one because I won't know how to appreciate my birthday cake when it comes. I'm like, no, you better stop right now. Celebrate, you guys. I mean, at least lift your hand to say thank you, Jesus. Casey, he's been good to us, honey. At least say thank you, Jesus. Jamie, you had those little turbulence on that plane. And yet that plane just got right back in its place. Lord, thank you. You did that because I'm on this plane and my mama's always praying. That plane to fill all those feet, I'm glad you weren't on it. Jamie, you weren't there. Joellen, good to see you today, honey. You've been recognizing what he's doing in your life. 90 years old plus, goes through a major heart thing, and look at her sitting here today. Woo! He shows up unannounced. He'll just show up unannounced. Okay, did I say I was going to quit? One more scripture. Psalms 106:4. Look at this. I love these words. Israel was in bondage. They were in Babylonian bondage. They were prisoners. And David cries out. Psalms 106:4. He says, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation." That's a big word. Salvation is such a huge word. It includes everything that you could ever have need of. Oh, visit me. Somebody say, visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. David's saying what every American should be praying right now. Oh, God, remember us. Remember us. You know what remember means? It means to think about. It means to notice me, to help me. Don't you want to know that God is noticing you and he's looking at you and he's helping you? The word visit, oh, God, visit me. It means help, deliver, bring salvation. There's a visitation in this house, church. And the more we recognize his presence, the more powerful it becomes. The more you recognize him in your life, the greater he empowers your life. The more you recognize him, the more powerful you get in your mind, not just your spirit. Everything works better when you recognize him. While the world is running away screaming, you lift your hands and praise him right in the middle of all the mess. We praise him. While everything else, they're screaming. John said, don't you fear not. No, don't you dare fear. You fear not. Stand with me today. Oh, let him bring us. Listen, he's bringing us into greater dedication, greater holiness, greater love. Hallelujah. He says, you are my people, and I will treat you as such. He just wants us to recognize him, love him, talk about him. It wouldn't hurt you to talk a little more about him, maybe. Listen, you say, I don't know how to talk about him. I promise you that God will bring people right where you are during the day that'll have the need that you have the miracle for. And you won't even know that you had the answer. And they will be right there complaining to you about something they're hurting with or something they're going through. And then you must testify and you must remember when you went through that, how God kept you. It could be the simplest of things, from a stomachache to a financial hardship, going through the fires of divorce, you'll remember how God kept you. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for sending us Jesus, your only Son. You love Jesus much more than we love our children, because your love is unconditional. Lord, at times we feel like we have an unconditional love, but I don't know that it compares to yours. No, I know it doesn't compare to yours. But Lord, we want to recognize you. It's time that the people who know you get their peace back. They get their peace back, and that you remember them. Lord, there's people in this room right now that say, I really, really felt like, Lord, you have forgotten me. Until I got here today, but I thought you had forgotten me. But would you please remember me? Would you notice me? Would you look at me? Would you help me? And Lord, will you make a visit to me? Bring a visitation and help me. Visit us, Lord. Visit us. Lord, convict somebody's heart right now. I'm sure it's already convicted. But Lord, most of us in this house gave our hearts to you, some at church, some in the back of a car, some in the hospital. But Lord, when we turned to you and recognized you, you changed our lives. You turned everything around. You changed our minds, our hearts. Things were really bad. And yet you helped us. You sent us salvation because you visited us. Because you remembered us. I'm going to ask you to remember my brother and sister today that is hurting. They haven't known where to turn or what to do or where to go. But Jesus, just as you rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, you've already ridden in here this morning because we feel your presence. You were here by the work of your Holy Spirit, and you've already remembered some sweet people in this room and made a visitation. He told us to make a public confession of Jesus, that we would not be ashamed to receive him. And if you're not ashamed of him and you want Jesus to remember you and pay you a big visit and restore your life to better than it was before, I'm going to ask you to come down here and meet me. I know nobody wants to step out in front of people, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. For 3.5 years, I was in depression and fear, and my pastor said, somebody's here in depression and fear. And you know what? I got up in front of all my peers, and I walked up there, and it made the difference. I didn't have to go home with it. I only had to go home with my mind. And he saved me. And he visited me. Anyone else want to come? Hallelujah. Anyone else want to be honest today and say, I need a visit? Oh, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Remember. Come on. Come on. Come up here. I need you to just remember me, Lord. I'm hurting. I don't know what to do. That's right. That's right. Come on. Come on, look. Look, we're from all walks of life. And there comes a time in our life where we just need a little extra something, something. And sometimes you don't even know what you need. You have no idea. But Jesus does. He knows. Could you all come down this way a little bit? Come a little closer to me down here. Could you all move over this way a little, please? Yeah, right here, son. Yes, Lord. Come on, this Palm Sunday, Jesus is in the house. Come on. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. May he restore you, Teddy, remember you, and bring a visit to you. Lord, visit my precious sister. Visit her with salvation and healing, restoration. Hosanna. Hosanna, bless the woman of God, Father. May you totally restore and make her whole in every part of her body, her mind. No more tumors. No tumors. We take them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, just lift your hands and receive him as Lord. Glory to God. Lift your hands. Let's begin to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I need you. Remember me. Would you notice me? Remember me and help me. Visit me. Visit my house. Visit my mind and my heart. Visit my family. Visit where I work. Come into my heart. Stay with me. I want you to visit me, but I want you to inhabit me. to stay with me. I receive you as Lord and my King in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, do a mighty miracle for your sweet people today. Come on, give Jesus praise, church. He's worthy. Woo! Let's give God the glory today for what he's done. Can I tell you today that he hasn't forgotten one of you? I only want to encourage you to recognize every time he shows up, you'll feel him. You might be in your car and hear music playing, or I started to say a CD, but your podcast. Oh, Teddy, we might have a CD player. Who knows? But whenever you feel the glory and you feel like you just want to break out into tears, recognize him. And don't miss the moment. Don't jump over it and start doing something else right there. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you and I praise you. Recognize him. Because you know why? He has seen you. He has noticed us today. And his visitation is upon us. Hallelujah. Don't ignore him. If you got a chance, I'm telling you, it's very dangerous to ignore when he gives you an opportunity to love on him. Thank you, Father, for your glory that's been in the place today. We honor you and thank you. Hallelujah, for the visitation you have brought. You said the visitation, the time of my visitation. Your visits are always on time. Not our time, but your time. And you brought us all together today for this time. And we honor you and bless you. And Lord, we thank you. Now I want to bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he keep you in his gracious mercy. And may he turn his countenance towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen.